You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
My name is Jonathan. I have the absolute privilege of being the kids pastor at Audacious Church in Chester. Thank you. And I have the absolute pleasure to hang with your awesome little ones. Now, can I just say, while worship was going on, what came to mind was what you plant, you will reap. And I watch kids dancing in the service and shaking and worshiping, and that's because of you amazing parents. You know, if I were you, I'd raise your hand up high, I'd tell the kids to do this, turn it around, pat yourself on the back. There we go. So I'm hoping everybody's had a good Christmas. From the sounds of it, there was a lot of food eaten. There might have been sort of one extra hole needed in the belt, or two, depending what you ate. Dan? What came to my mind was one of the most important questions for Christmas is, what movie did you watch? Now, there was a lot of oohs out there. So by a show of hands, did anybody watch the second best movie, Home Alone? Oh, there we go. There we go, Home Alone. What an absolute epic. Number one, not for the kids though, Die Hard. There we go, absolute legends. It is a Christmas movie, and I will debate it to everybody. So if you were here last week, there was an amazing message called Now That's What I Call Christmas by the person now I call Big Papa G, shaking his head in the corner, Mr. Mark Garrett. Absolutely amazing message. If you weren't here, honestly, get onto Spotify, have a listen. I mean, every service here just really is, it's absolutely amazing. But I absolutely love the family today. I love that today, on the last day, especially of the year, we get to celebrate Jesus, not with kids being in another room being ministered and parents being here. You get your loved ones next to you. How special is that? I mean, come on. So, with that in mind, I'm going to get to a point later on why that's really, really important. But before we carry on, if you guys don't mind closing your eyes, I'll start off with a bit of prayer, and then we'll get to some really, really juicy stuff. All right, so here we go. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for the gift of your birth and the sacrifice that came with it. Lord Jesus, we know that the 25th was an amazing day, Lord Jesus, but we know the real reason why you came, and we are so grateful for it. We pray today for open ears, we pray for open minds, and Lord Jesus, we pray for touched souls that the message today moves and shakes within us. I pray this in your mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Nice. So, as 2025 closes, I've been reflecting back. I've been looking at 2025, 2024, I'm not going to count all the way back, but basically when I was a lot younger. I haven't got enough fingers and toes for that. But I was thinking back when I was your age, little ones, and I thought about two moments where I misplaced confidence. So bear with me as I tell you these stories. The first story, and this does not give you a right to do it, guys. If we're in kids and you go, but you did it, doesn't mean it was right. The first story, I took a long-term loan, that's what I'm going to say it is, on my dad's racer bike. Long-term loan. And I took it out because all the kids on the street had their BMXs out, and I thought, oh, look at them. BMX, nice fat wheels, cruising up and down. My dad's racer can do that. So take the bike out. Still doesn't know to this day, by the way. So if anybody's recording, well, now he does. I took the bike out, and the first guy with the BMX starts pedaling. Wow, majestic, like an eagle in the air. Oh, wow, it doesn't look too hard. Next one. felt like he was in the air for minutes. I'm next. Easy. Stop pedaling. Vroom. Oh, this is amazing. Not when I touch down. Now, if you guys know anything about bicycles, BMX have those fat wheels. Races do not. I flew in the air. The wheel touched round, ended up oval or star-shaped, or I can't even tell you what shape it was. My face sort of grazed the ground. And I don't know if I was in more fear about the graze on my face or returning the bicycle to blame my sister. Number two was misplaced confidence by my sister this time. So for the older generation out there, do you guys remember, if you've watched Die Hard, you'll know this. There was a movie called Cliffhanger. You remember it? There was an amazing action hero, kids. He was basically the Hulk in our days. His name was Sylvester Stallone. Arms thicker than my thighs. Grabbing people off mountains. Not even a bead of sweat. And I thought, oh, I can do that. How hard can that be? Round up my sister, the one that I've just blamed for the bicycle. Misplaced confidence, like I said. And I said, well, we're going to try this. Now, in South Africa, we've got these huge willow trees. And I took a rope and I slung it around and I said, here we go. It wasn't me that was going to climb the tree, obviously. I put it around my sister's waist and I said, start climbing. As she was climbing, I was pulling. She had her claws in the tree. Claws, no love lost there. She grabbed each nodule on the way up. And then I realized, my arms are getting tired. Wow, this is a workout. And then the worst thing possible happened. My mom opened the door and shouted, dinner time. Now, my sister's about 2.5-3 meters in the air, and I'm weighing up, dinner time. My sister, dinner time. Yeah, my sister, it's dinner time. So in that second, I let it go and started walking until I heard a massive, dinner time, my sister, she's lying flat on her back, dinner time. She had misplaced confidence in what I was capable of doing. What I wanted to get to, the point of it all, was a lot of the times we misplace our confidence in the wrong things, and we set ourselves up to fail. So we've all been there. We've expected a bus to come on time. We've expected the Brussels sprouts to be cooked right. We've expected friendships to go really well. They just haven't. We've expected to get an amazing gift for Christmas, kids. And it wasn't. Maybe something just stirred within us for the year and it just wasn't right. We've all been in that position. Have you guys seen that video, The Trust Fail, where the gent has his arms open, eyes closed, all the friends are waiting behind him, and all he has to do is fall back. He falls forward, lands on his face. He had the wrong information. I'm hoping today's word can stir a bit of the right information with you guys. So in Proverbs 29, verse 25, it's going to come up on the screens. It says, fear and intimidation is a trap that holds you back. But when you place your confidence in the Lord, you will be seated in the high place. What is he talking about, the high place? I mean, oh, I've got a hand up. It's like being in kids' ministry. The high place. What could he possibly mean? I had the great privilege recently to go with some really good friends of mine to Edinburgh. We managed to go to Edinburgh Castle. Has anybody seen Edinburgh Castle? Absolutely gorgeous. We stood up in Edinburgh Castle and I thought to myself, what an absolute fortress. And I thought to myself, is this what God meant about the high place? What is a high place? Three things. A high place is a safe place. It's secure, it's steady, it's anchored. Like Edinburgh, it wasn't built on the flat surface, it was built on this massive rock. But also, a high place has a higher view. Now, when I was up there, I looked and I saw all these cannons on the walls, and I thought, wow, is this what God means about a high place? Safe, secure. There's no way that a place like that could be overrun. And then when I thought to myself, it's a place that you can see afar, I thought, when I was standing up there, you could see to the sea. You could see as far as what you wanted. I thought to myself, if there was ever an enemy coming, you could see them days before they arrived. And I think that's what God wants of us in the high place. A high place is a place of peace, joy, provision, protection, favor, power, and love. All those things when you sit in the high place. How could we not want to sit in that high place? So God's inviting us to this high place, but there's three Bible verses that I wanted to read to you guys that emphasize how important we are to God while we get the invitation to the high place. The first one comes from Ephesians 2, verse 10. And it says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do all things he planned for us long ago. He created us. I want you guys to focus on he created us. Not anybody. He. I say my kids, they are your kids. I try and tell my kids in the ministry, and I want you guys to try this today. Look at your hands, and you'll see, if you look really, really close, you'll see the smallest of squares. It's almost like God has stitched you together. And in the Bible, it talks about God stitching you in your mother's womb. And if you look really close, it's just like he's put so much detail into you. And I try and tell the kids this, and I say, this is the same God who's created universes. I tell the kids, if you look into a child's eyes, that universe sits in their eyes. What God can do that? Now, when we start to think about these things, how can we not want to be with that person? Also think back, I mean, maybe you can see by the gray on my chin, maybe you aren't as old as what I am, but when you were a child, the first place you would run to were your parents. If you were ever in trouble or scared or maybe scared of the dark, first place you run to your mom and dad and you cuddle underneath them because they were your safe place, your high place. That's really what I want you guys to take away today. Because there's another side of this that we will get to. Let's be, first of all, grateful that we are his masterpiece, that we were created in his image, not any other image, not a sketchbook drawing or just some slapped paint on the side. We got the privilege to be created in his image. Another thing I tell my kids, forgive me for this, the kids, is that you are royalty. Do you ever remember that? When you are created in his image, you are sons and daughters of a king. I mean, that stirs something inside you. Let's be grateful that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's be grateful that we are the work of his hands. In one of the other Bible verses, it says in Psalms 139:14, it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Another Bible verse in Isaiah, my favorite book, Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the works of your hands. At some point, God took a little bit of his time where he could have done anything, absolutely anything. And he created you. How magnificent are you? His fingerprints are all over you. My wife, sitting in the front here, says all the time, this absolutely drives her nuts when I say this. But a lot of the time I say, you can't see the wood for the trees. She goes, what does that actually mean? I say, I don't know, but it sounds good. Sometimes we look and we go, I don't know where I'm standing. Where is God? And then we get to the end of the year and we're standing here in 2025 and we're going, God's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's blessed me. He's loved me. He's given me safety and security with my family. And so when we go into 2026, I don't want us to wait until the end of the year to wait and realize these things. Let's start looking for the signs from the beginning of the year and go, wow, all right, I've got problems, but God's walking with me. I've got troubles, maybe I've got an exam coming up, I don't know if I'm prepared, but you know what, God's got me. Maybe finances aren't working like what we want them to do. It's okay, God's got me. Maybe there's something going on in a marriage and we're like, I'm at my wit's end. No, you're not, God's with you. He is always with you. Like I said, there's always somebody who doesn't want this plan to go ahead. The enemy himself, he wants you stuck in the mud. Now, whenever I think of that, being stuck in the mud, I think of a seed that's been planted in extremely hard clay. Have you guys ever seen mud when it dries up and it's cracked and it just, nothing can grow? That's what the enemy wants. He doesn't want you sitting at that high place. He wants you stuck in that mud where you're trying to grow, you're trying to push out, but you're full of intimidation, you're fearful, you're isolated, you're alone. God wants the opposite. Again, why would we not want that? So there are two things that I wanted to remind you guys of today. First thing, the high place, it's pretty obvious, the high place is where God is. But when I say the high place is where God is, I'm going to read you some of his natures. And maybe when I read these natures, you'll look back and go, ooh, yeah, you're right. I can see it now. I can see it through 2025. You're right. His nature is reliable. He's never let you down. He's generous. Like Dan said earlier, I always think if he can get it to you, he will get it through you. He's faithful. He's compassionate. He's forgiving. He's wise. Why would you not want that? The second one I want to talk to you guys about is the high place is where we grow our relationship with him. Again, thinking back to Edinburgh, and I think to myself, if you're standing on that ground, and you're standing down here, oh, sorry, kids. Oh, the backbones. Oh, when you're standing down here, I can't see where that danger is. You say, what's coming? Nah, I don't believe you. Sorry, what? I can't see that. The moment we're up here, oh, wow. Yes, Lord, I see it now. I see those dangers. Lord, keep me in your arms. Let's pursue him. He's always chasing us. And I think especially over Christmas, the last thing I want is that we start to get distracted. We go, oh, brand new iPhone. Woohoo! I can't wait to get into that Xbox. Can't wait to start building that Lego piece. And we start to shift our focus away from what the real meaning of Christmas is. I sit and I think to myself, which is really, really, I've got this world of hope for it, because if you're driving down the road, in every window you'll see Christmas tree after Christmas tree and lights after lights. And I'm thinking even the people that don't know Jesus yet have him on the tip of their tongues. Merry Christmas. All they need is to take that step. Just take that step forward. Get to know him. Maybe they start to ask questions about the lights. Maybe they start to ask questions about the tree. Maybe they start to ask questions about the forgiving, the giving nature of everybody. Billy Graham, oh, I absolutely love Billy Graham. He came out with a really, really good quote, and I want to share it with you guys. It says, if you want a happy family, put God at the center of it. This Christmas, this new year, this 2026, it's amazing, like I said, to see the families around. But I pray that we remember to put the most important person in the center of it. Let's put God in the center of it. Let's put him where we know we can lean on him, where he stands high like that Edinburgh Castle, that we know when we reach up to him, we can't stand on the ground and shout up to him and say, Lord, let's move up there with him. Let's stand at that high place, be safe, be under his arms, be under his safety. I'm gonna share in closing just a quick story. Besides being a kids pastor, I have another job. Very, very blessed to have another job. I get the privilege of donating gifts to the elderly from the community themselves. And this year, we had an amazing opportunity to donate gifts through to probably about 40 people that battle with mental health, dementia, vulnerable, lonely. And I dropped these gifts off, and the man that was leading it, he started handing out leaflets to them. And pretty much the same questions I asked you guys. What was your movie for Christmas? What was your favorite carol? It has to be O Holy Night. And then the third one absolutely shook me to my core. What is the one thing you want for Christmas? And about 80% of them said family. I look at that and I think to myself, that's what God wants. God's looking and he goes, I've got everything. And I will give you everything. I just want you. That's it. Put me in the center of your family. That's all I want. In scripture, it says in James 4, verse 8, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let's make sure our focus is in the right direction. When he's at the center of our family, our focus can't be anywhere else. It doesn't matter if we've got the newest iPhone, the newest car, the newest Xbox. He's there. He can't take our focus away. Let's put God back where he belongs. So in summary, the high place is where God wants you. He wants you, he wants you, he wants every single one of us. His fingerprints are all over you. From what he's done through 2025 to he already knows what he's going to do with you in 2026 and in 2027 because he loves you and he cares for you. Lastly, we could put our confidence in him. Not like a rickety racer bike or a rope around your sister's waist and, oh, my arms are getting tired. God's not going to drop you. He's not going to get distracted by the dinner bell and go, I'll come back to you later. He is with you always. So for 2026, let's pursue him. Let's know him. And let's not be fearful. 2026, what are the possibilities, everyone? This room could be filled to the brim. We've got an extension coming to the church. We can have the city saved for God. And let's be the people in the high place with him. Let's not just talk about it. Let's be with him.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.